Right Samadhi and Insight in Sayadaw U Kandima. Sayadaw U Sandima, S. Teaching. Translation by Bhikkhu Uttamo. Introduction to Right Samadhi and Right Insight. Part 1, of 4 parts. What is the Right Samadhi in the Noble Eightfold Path? There are two answers to this important question. The first is from the Buddha himself, the others are from commentaries, including scholars and practicing Buddhists. The Buddha's Right Samadhi is the four Rupa Jhanas. The Right Samadhi of commentaries are Kanaka Samadhi, Upakara Samadhi with the four Rupa Jhanas. The scholars and practicing monks, including teachers and students, Right Samadhi are with their interpretations, views and together with the suttas and commentaries. Doubts and confusion come from the interpretations and views of some scholars and practicing monks, including lay teachers with students. One of the dangers of the decline of patipatti, practice, is that if one claims to be a teacher without enlightenment, and any of the paths and fruits and their teachings are only for the sake of fame and fortune, and become like a business. Sayadaw U Kandima mentioned these things in some of his teachings. This is evident if we observe the famous Thai forest tradition, especially that of Ajahn Mun, where no one among his disciples ever opened a meditation center for money or fame. These money and competition syndromes facing humanity today can bring destruction and suffering to both humans and nature. The Buddha did not mention Kanaka Samadhi and Upakara Samadhi in the suttas. This is the commentary's view and does not mean that it could be wrong. It can come from the experience of some yogis in the past. We can see these in the teachings of some Thai forest monks. Some scholars can misinterpret some of the commentary teaching. Some are self-styled scholars. In his book, The Way to Stream Entry, Sayadaw U Kandima mentioned the following regarding the misunderstanding of scholars regarding the mention of Kanaka Samadhi in the commentaries. The attainment of Kanaka Samadhi was mentioned in Mahanidesa Atthakatha, Patisamhidamagga Atthakatha and Dharmasangani Atthakatha. When completed with rapture, piti, one of the five elements of the first jhana, it will also become the completion of the tranquility of body and mind, kaya and citta passadhi. And with the two tranquilities, it'll become bodily and mental happiness, kayika and cetasika sukha. Then, completing with these two happinesses, it'll become kanaka, upakara and apana samadhi respectively. Therefore, the kind of kanaka samadhi means according to the Atthakatha and Tika, it has completed with rapture, tranquility and happiness. It means the kind of samadhi which has the five jhanic factors. There can be a wide range of them from upakara to rupa and arupa jhanas. So kanaka samadhi has many levels. We should not look down on daily mindfulness or awareness, sati, in our lives as insignificance. If we look at the Noble Eightfold Path of the samadhi factors, it includes sati, viriya and samadhi which are together. Without the establishment of mindfulness, we can't protect ourselves and others. See the Sadaka Sutta, Samyutta Nikaya. Sati practice is purifying the mind. It leads to sila, samadhi and panna. This is the practice of Mahasi system. Restraining our sense faculties needs sati. We can only solve all human problems with suffering with the Buddha Dharma, a noble education. Without it, we, all of us, become crazy human beings, greedy and selfish. We depend on this kind of Kanaka Samadhi to develop insight, with five jhanic factors. To become insight right view, Vipassana Samadhi, We must have the purification of mind, citta visuddhi, or upekkha ekaggata samadhi, one-pointed samadhi with equanimity. The dry insight, suddha vipassana, as only vipassana practice without samatha, i.e. jhana practice, is true, but the yogi must have one-pointed samadhi with equanimity. Most of us forget or miss this important point. This refers to vipassana practices before him. Before the mind becomes citta visuddhi or samma samadhi or upekkha ekaggata samadhi, the mind cannot incline toward the objects of paramatta mind and form, which are the objects, aram, aramana, of strong insight, balavantu vipassana. Dry insight does not have the jhanic factors. For the purification of mind, you have to contemplate or observe the cessation of the object sign, nimitta, here is insight objects or the four satipatthana objects, by suppressing greed and distress, abhijja and domanasa, and attain upekkha ekaggata samadhi. Here suppression is temporary suppression, vikhamhana, which is the same as by the samatha jhanic factors. The samatha signs and vipassana signs are different types. Samatha stabilizes the object signs and vipassana observes the nature of the signs, which have the three universal characteristics. Therefore, samatha practice without vipassana develops concepts and self-views. See the Bhaka Brahma, Minnesota 49, Brahmanimantanika Sutta. Samatha Yanaka is the development of wisdom by samadhi, while Vipassana Yanaka is the development of samadhi by wisdom. These are mentioned in the Yoganada Sutta, in conjunction, Anguttara Nikaya. Samatha Yanaka way is relying on the samadhi signs and developing the five jhanic factors of piti, sukha, etc. That the practice is more comfortable than Vipassana Yanaka way. It takes more time to develop jhanas. Vipassana Yanaka is without the samatha signs that it is dry and tough. But it can realize paths and fruits quicker than samatha Yanaka way. E.g., Sunlun Sayadaw, the Ingu Sayadaw, etc. Some Vipassana Yanakas are based on some samatha practices, but not to jhanic states, e.g., Upakara Samadhi in Yu Ba Khin's teaching. Therefore, Vipassana Yanaka way is called Suddha Vipassana practice or Anamitta Seto Samadhi practice. I think we can find the Pali usage in the suttas. Even though we differentiate between samatha and vipassana yanaka ways, the main point is attaining of upekkha ekaggata samadhi or samadhi indriya. There are also other Pali words for samadhi, such as vipassana jhana or lakhana rupa jhana, supramundane jhana by scholars. This has confused people, if possible, to use only the Pali words mentioned in the suttas. The problem of what is right samadhi makes Buddhist practices confusion, and there are a lot of arguments going on in the West with different views and opinions. There are some Western Buddhists reject the validity of Kanaka samadhi on the ground that it was not mentioned in the suttas. They don't trust the commentaries and even some go to extreme, rejecting the whole Abhidhamma Pitaka. Some years ago, three Sri Lanka monks, Ven. Soma, Ven. Kiminda and Ven. Kasapa, and the German Lama Anagarika Govinda criticized Kanaka Samadhi in the Mahasi system. Some of Mahasi Sayadaw's senior disciples replied for them. It can be found on the internet. There was an interesting experiment done by the late Prime Minister Yu Niu of Burma with a Mahasi monk on the fruition state, Phala Samapatipatti. This research was described in his booklet on the Tipitakas. Yu Niu invited a Mahasi monk to his place and requested him for entering into fruition state. Yu Niu did not mention his name and he was not from Rangoon, because after the research he was flown back to his monastery by plane. It seems to me this research was arranged by Mahasi Sayadaw himself. This monk was in the fruition state for 6 days and 6 nights. Therefore, Yu Niu arranged for some people to observe him by replacing the observers. An American meditation teacher interviewed Fa Ork Sayadaw about the disagreements of Western Buddhists regarding what is jhana and right samadhi. Sayadaw said that people did not understand the Pali texts well. He also said that jhana practices were explained clearly in the Visuddhimagga. He advised him they should trace it back to the original suttas, the original commentaries and sub-commentaries, i.e., old commentaries. After that, for Visuddhimagga, they will understand the meaning. This important point is also mentioned by Dr. Nandamala Vivamsa Sayadaw and his many Dharma talks enriched my knowledge and profundity of the Dharma. He made this remark as how many of them really studied the commentaries and made the bold criticism. He says this because of how many of them have actually studied the commentaries and made bold criticisms. Even I heard a story that a well-known Western monk who had never studied Abhidharma Pitaka declared it as not authentic, including the commentaries, and he rejected all of them, and also encouraged others the same way. He also admitted that he had never studied the issue before and had only gained second-hand knowledge from others. There are many Buddhists whose understanding of the Dharma is like the monkey's understanding of dukkha in this story below. An old Brahmin became nervous every day because his old wife was talkative and aggressive. She scolded him every day and found faults. As a result, he went to a large tree nearby every day to moan and release his stress. "Oh, it's dukkha. It's dukkha." A monkey stayed in this tree and often heard the word dukkha and became curious about it. So he came down from the tree and asked the Brahmin, "What is this dukkha you keep mentioning?" The Brahmin was already in distress and wanted to teach the monkey a lesson. So he replied to him, "You must wait for me here tomorrow, and I'll bring dukkha for you." Next day, the Brahmin put a ferocious dog in a gunny bag and closed the opening with a rope. And then he took it under the tree and called out to the monkey to come down and look for himself what dukkha was. The Brahmin stayed away from a distance and observed the monkey. The monkey came down from the tree and opened the gunny bag slowly. As soon as it was opened, the distressed dog came out angrily with growls and tried to bite the monkey. The monkey jumped up the tree instantly with a fright and sat on a branch looking down at the dog, which was still barking at him. The monkey made this exclamation, "Oh! My God, I know! I know!" Dukkha means aggressive eyes with frightening sharp teeth. Some Western philosophies of dukkha are not so different from this monkey. See hedonism, imperialism, capitalism, competition syndrome, money syndrome, etc. They don't see the dangers and even fall in love with dukkha. Kanaka Samadhi has many levels on the way when it reaches the level of Upekkha Ekaggata Samadhi. It was like the still flowing water. Ajahn Chah gave the still flowing water simile or analogy to this samadhi as follows. Still, flowing water. Have you ever seen flowing water? Have you ever seen still water? If your mind is peaceful, it's like still, flowing water. Have you ever seen still, flowing water? There. You've only seen flowing water and still water, i.e., separately. You have never seen still, flowing water, i.e., together. right there, right where your thinking can't take you, where the mind is still but can develop discernment. When you look at your mind, it'll be like flowing water, and yet still. It looks like it's still, it looks like it's flowing, so it's called still, flowing water. That's what it's like. That's where discernment can arise. In training yogis to develop samadhi, Yu Kandima teaches the three stages of samadhi, or what he calls the three bhavangas. The first, bhavanga samadhi, has the power of the first jhana, the second, bhavanga, corresponds to the second plus the third jhana, and the third, bhavanga, corresponds to the fourth jhana. These three bhavangas have their own qualities and functions. Only arriving at the level of the third bhavanga, one can discern the vinana. With this samadhi power, he can develop great insight, maha vipassana. There are three important suttas in his teaching. Those are Asavaisopama Sutta, the simile of the vipers, SN 35. 238, Salayatanavagga, Samyutta Nikaya, Vimika Sutta, the Ant Hill, Sutta No. 23, Majjhima Nikaya, Chachaka Sutta, the six sets of six, Sutta No. 148, Majjhima Nikaya. Of the three sutras, the two, Asavaisopama Sutta and Chachaka Sutta, are more relevant to his instruction in practice. I have a purpose for writing this long article. The most recent books, Two Sides of a Coin, and A Noble Search, are life stories told by the Ingu Sayadaw and Sayadaw Yu Kandima themselves to inspire readers. There I have translated only some of his talks, i.e. Yu Kandima's Dharma, on the practice of samadhi and some controversies with Buddhists about the nature of right samadhi and true insight. I relied on some of his instructional talks in his 9 days retreat for yogis. These recorded talks were not complete and mixed up with some of his Dharma talks to lay people. I don't even have a clear understanding of them myself. All of them are compiler errors. Now, I base this essay on his book, The Way to Stream Entry. The reader should use this article to read the autobiographical and Dharma talk of Yu Kandima, which has the practice of samadhi. I have included only important excerpts from his book so that readers can get a general idea of his life and teaching. I hope that the life and teaching of Yu Kandima will address some of the issues of samadhi and insight faced by the practitioner. A Noble Search. I entered the Buddhist order near the end of 1975. I did the practice for over a year, and attained the path of stream entry. Only after 20 years the head monk of Suddharma sect Sayadaw, and Tom Pha Sayadaw were questioned on my practice. This happened at Nyang Don Parayati Vihara during the monk ordination ceremony. There are two major Buddhist sects in Burma. The oldest and largest is the Suddharma sect, followed by the Shui Kyan and other smaller sects. I started my Dharma teaching from there. At that place I gave only one talk there. The second time was at Ton Te, Kyokpa Dong Parayati Vihara. There I taught the monks and nuns, Burmese as Sila, Shin, Thai as Mei Chi, for 14 days. Actually it was a 10 days retreat, but it took 14 days. I gave them the teaching because they had the duty to spread the Dharma. This is the third time here. It's just that after more than 20 years, I've only taught three retreats. The reason I am waiting for so long is I was afraid of people thinking about me as showing my own prestige. Therefore, I was not teaching for a long time. Another reason is I was afraid of having the wrong attention with it. I know that at this place Pong Tala town, the teaching will be developed here. Yu Xin doesn't know about the Pariyat, learning from texts. As a young man at the age of 24, I did the practice, and learned the path, and fruit of stream entry, which I'll share with you for your benefit. Teaching Vipassana is like selling goods. What is the value of such goods? The customer should ask, how is its usefulness? The seller also can give guarantee for the goods. In this way, the seller and buyer will do well. What it was made of, and how long it will last for use, all these have to be guaranteed. Among the three sasana, i.e., study, practice, and result, the study of texts, pariyat, parayati, is recording the omniscience knowledge, sabbanuttanana, of the Buddha in texts. We have to practice them, and only that we have the chance to experience it by oneself. Therefore, patipat, patipati, is the sasana of practice. The yogi with one's own knowledge analytically penetrates the conditioned dharma of mind and body, and its reality. With this, he understands the truths of dukkha, its cause, the ending of dukkha, and the way to ending dukkha, i.e., dukkha, samudaya, nirodha, and magga sakkas. This is the attainment of path, and fruit, and nibbana, which is the result of patipati. Only this kind of person can spread the patipati sasana. In Pariyat sasana also has its levels, and someone who has the graduate certificate can spread the sasana. For the teaching practice, someone has to penetrate it by himself, and liberate from dukkha. Only this person can help the lay followers to liberate themselves from dukkha, and to nibbana. I myself don't know anything about Pariyat, but practice hard to arrive at the path, and fruit of stream entry which I offer you for the benefit. How can I have the perfection, parami, to practice it successfully? It's impossible without perfection, and must have parami. I'll talk about my parami in gist. My birthplace is Ta Goon Dine Village, Ta Nut Pin Town, Pegu District. I.e., north of Rangoon, and not very far from it. Before I was born, I had two older sisters above me. After my sisters were born, my mother had a strong desire to have a son. After the pregnancy, one night my mother had a dream. From the sky, the Buddha and arahants were coming for alms foods, and mother went outside to offer foods. After giving foods to the Buddha, she was ready for the first arahant. The arahant opened the bowl lid, and took out a baby inside the bowl, and gave it to her. Mother received it with the shawl from her shoulder, and looking at the child, it was a baby boy. It made her joyful, and then she woke up from sleep. From then onwards until she passed away at the age of 68, she could not eat any smelly meat and fish. I know about them because my mother told me. When I was sensible at the age of 5 or 6, I asked my parents to light candles in the shrine room every night, and I was sitting cross-legged in front of the Buddha statue. It gave me satisfaction by doing it. My parents stayed behind my back, and used the tip of the broom touching my ears and shoulders, to make me itch by teasing me. I was happy with it by sitting like this every night, and not because I knew something about it. His near-past life of habit as a practicing monk carried to this life. Therefore, our everyday actions are very important not only in the present, but also for the future to come. Only after doing the sitting did I go to bed. At the age of 6 or 7, in the village, some villagers were sick, and I heard their crying and groaning. When people were separated from each other, lost loved ones, and hearing their sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair which made me depressed. Sometimes I saw people looking after the sick person, also the loved one, with low spirits and small faces, which also made me depressed. When I saw all these human sufferings, and asked my mother, "Mother, are people very often sick and crying, and groaning like this? Would it happen to us like this later?" Mother answered me, "My son, being born a human being, must encounter it. Can't we get rid of it?" "No, we can't." I became to be afraid and got goosebumps. I thought, one day I will have to suffer with Dukkha Vedana like this in crying and groaning. And then sorrow was arising in me. Even though I was only a child, seeing these things made me unhappy. I was also unhappy by seeing people became sick, and inviting doctors to see the patients, and looked after them. Later someone died, and I went to see it. Near the corpse, family members were crying, heartbreaking, and some were in shock and in a coma. Seeing him, I was unhappy. After back home I asked my mother, "Mother, who is dead now? Do we also die like this?" Mother answered me, "If you become human, you have to die like this." "Mother, is anyone free from it?" Mother said, "No one. One day I have to die, and you also have to die." When I heard them I was afraid, and there was no happiness in me. I became unhappy by thinking about old age, sickness, and death. This was a very rare thing that happens between a child and a parent on questions and answers of life and death. We can see that Sayadaw's maturity of mind as a child comes from his past practice. His mother's patience in answering questions about life and death was also very good. Most parents can stop their young children asking these kinds of questions. According to Sayadaw, his mother passed away at the age of 68, and took rebirth as a snake, but he did not say more than that. At the age of 25 he entered the stream entry, so he had a lot of time to help his parents with Dharma. His father was lucky, he practiced, and reached certain level, but at dying his mind was inclining towards Sayadaw at the moment of death, and took rebirth as a tree spirit, Rukha Devata. I was thinking about the issues of where there was no aging, sickness, and death. So I went to ask my mother, "Mother, please tell me if there is a place where no aging, sickness and death." Mother said, "We don't have this kind of place under here, but it exists on the moon." Mother was making a joke to me. So every night when the moon came out, I went outside and looked at it. And then with the mind pulled it toward me, and when it arrived near tried to climb on the moon, but it moved away from me. Day by day I was afraid of aging, sickness, and death, thinking about how to climb on the moon. What happened to me later was when I was 10 or 11 years old. Inside our sleeping room there was a big clothes cupboard. I went inside and lay down there like a dead person, and contemplated as, "One day I have to die like this." The stomach became rising up, bloated, and loathsome. The flesh became brown to black, later bloated, and putrid. My thighs and legs became bloated and a putrid smell came out. The putrid smell was so terrible that I couldn't bear it anymore, and had to release my mind on it. And then it became normal again. Before it became a corpse bloated, putrid, and smelly, and now it became normal again. What did it mean? I would try it again, and I did myself like a dead person, and contemplated it. When I concentrated on the stomach, and it was swollen, my chest expanded, legs and hands were becoming swollen and expanded. Not before long, it became putrid and smelly. I couldn't bear its smell, and relaxed my meditation. I was thinking that one day I would die like this. After death, it would become bloated, putrid, and fallen apart, and the body became useless. I was only thinking about these things, and unhappy with it. At a very young age, he was contemplating death, which led to loathsomeness of the body. This incident made me remember one of Ajahn Chah's disciples, Ajahn Ti's experience as a lay man. As a young man, Kun Ti, Kun similar to Mr., graduated from business school, and he wanted to continue his further study in the US or give up the further study, and had a family life. So he continued to think about some young women, friends, for his spouse, one by one. All of them were becoming skeletons. At last, he gave up his plan of further study, and had a family life. Later ordained by Ajahn Chah, and became a well-known forest monk. Lust, sexual desire is very strong in humans, and a difficult human problem which relates to all. The majority of monks, Westerners or Asians, who have disrobed were mostly associated with this. The four things that make a monk not shine are woman, lust, money, alcohol, all sorts of drugs, and wrong livelihood. I think these also can be related to the lay community. In today's modern world, we can see lust, sexual desire is a lot worse than before, such as homosexuality, child pornography, man prostitution, never heard before, a lot of abortion around the globe. In this case, we humans of today are inferior to animals. The scriptures also mention some wrong sexual practices, such as illicit lust between family members, adama raga, etc. Nowadays, there are a lot of human problems connected with lust. Solving these issues are also wrong, sometimes instead of solving the problems even promoting them by laws and media. What's a mess? Closing square bracket. Sometimes in the village there were merit makings, such as Buddhist festivals offering foods and requisites to Sangha, etc. And we invited others from other villages, relatives, and friends. Everyone came with their bullock carts, and we met friends and relatives together, and were all happy with it. We established temporary pavilions and preparations for these occasions. After finishing all these merit offerings, all relatives and friends were leaving, and leaving us behind with separation and sadness. We all took down all the temporary pavilions and preparations which I saw made us unhappy, again. Living in the human world was no pleasure and pleasantness and no stability at all. Behind all these pleasures and pleasantness were existing with displeasure and unpleasantness. People have paramis, perfections like thorns which start coming out also pointed. Gladness follows with sadness is a natural phenomenon. If it's like this, there is no pleasure at all. Therefore, I wanted to climb on the moon. So I asked my mother, "Mother, I am trying to climb on the moon, but I can't do it. Is there any other place which frees you from aging, sickness, and death?" Mother said, "There is none, and also can't be on the moon. I was making a joke of you. If you're on the moon also you can't free yourself from aging, sickness, and death. This body is with you. Does the Buddha also age, get sick, and die?" The Buddha would age, become sick, and die only this time, and it would not happen again. If this is possible, then I'll practice his way. How did the Buddha practice? And then mother taught me how to use the rosary with reciting of Anicca, Dukkha, and Anatta. You'll age, sick, and die for this time only, and never again. And then I began counting the rosary. At night without doing it I would never sleep. Also father taught me how to use the rosary, such as the qualities of the Buddha. There are 9 qualities or attributes of the Buddha, and a very common practice in Burma, mostly for protection and power. The 3 universal characteristics, i.e., anicca, dukkha, and anatta, counting the rosary for the numbers of one's age, e.g., if you are 50, then counting for 50 times of each one round of rosary, etc. I was doing this practice every night, and observant days, i.e., 4 days a month, up to my high school year of 10th standard, i.e., before the entrance of university. Whatever business I had on every Upasata, observant day, I never missed it. I was making the determination that I would practice according to the doctrine of the Buddha, and trying my best not to get this khanda, mind, and body. And then I arrived at the 10th level of high school. Here we can see the importance of habitual practice, samatha or vipassana. Sayadaw's past life, as a monk also, habitual practices carried on to this life, even at a young age as a small child or boy it never vanished. There is a Burmese yogi Yu Kyo Win, who at the age of 28 started to practice samatha with rosary. When he was a little older, and close to retirement age, he had the chance to Mandalay City with government duty, and arrived at a meditation center which taught the way of Kani Sayadawgyi's method, Kani Sayadaw 1870-1956. He had the chance to sit 2 hours with Anapanasati, and had a good samadhi. Shortly after retired, he went 2 months with retreat at Morbi, near Rangoon, Ratapala Meditation Center in 2005. This is Myzin Sayadaw's center which taught the Kani method. He wrote his 2 months retreat experiences in an essay called Taste of Dharma, Dharmarasa. It seems to me he was quite successful in the practice. This is the benefit of many years of habitual practice of samatha or vipassana. Another example is an Italian yogi named Eduardo, and according to him when he was in Italy every day he practiced meditation for 2 hours with Anapanasati. Later he went to Burma, and looked for a teacher to practice with. He met Ven. Adhikaramsi, Yu Sun Elwin, who taught him Mogik Sayadaw's system, and realized Dharma. Later he wrote a letter to Ven. Adhikaramsi said that he was teaching at St. Petersburg in Russia. This is also the outcome of habitual practice. Habitual practice is so important for dying near death. We can see this in Channavada Sutta, Sutta number 144, Majjhima. It can be also said as a wisdom perfection, Panna Parami, for enlightenment. Closing square bracket. At the 9th level of high school, I stayed at my aunt's home in Saketa town. At the 10th level, my great uncle, who was a Buddhist monk, said to me that at this level there were many books for study. So asking me not to stay at my aunt's home, and came to stay at the monastery. Therefore, I moved to the monastery. In the rain season, he taught lay people on the process of dependent arising, Patikasamapada, with Mogik circular chart on DA, so I asked him, Ven. Sir, what is this circular chart for doing? I am using this circular chart for teaching people. Ven. Sir, do your Dharma turn circular like this? He knew that I did not understand it, and did not talk much about it. Round of existence, samsara, is turning in this way. If I tell you about ignorance, avijja, clinging, upadana, and action, kamma, you'll know nothing about them. He explained to me only that much, this happens in the morning. In the midday I came down the stairs, My great uncle asked lay people to sit in meditation and taught them with Anapanasati. I asked him what they were doing. He told me that it was practicing meditation. I said, does Dharma have two kinds? In the morning you taught them with the circular chart, which is not Dharma. He said, the morning Dharma teaching was showing the round of existence. If you want to come out from the circular samsara, you have to sit meditation like this. I wanted to free from samsara, and asked him, then, sir, is this one of the ways of the Buddha? Yes, it's, I said to him. It can't be, and must be the counting of the rosary. Did you see the Buddha holding a rosary? During the school holidays of observant days my uncle, i.e., during his periods in Saketa, sent me with his car to Shwe Dagon Seti for my observance. We can see the strong parami came from his past lives. For most of us young people, let alone practice like he did, they don't even remember most of the observant days. I cannot even remember schools and government offices having holidays on Buddhist observant days, for full moon and new moon. In the time of the Buddha, the Buddhists had it. In samsara, it was extremely rare to meet and have this with the Buddha Dharma in samsara. Therefore, Buddhists should use this rare chance for the practice. I had never seen a Buddha statue holding a rosary. Then my great uncle continued, these rosary practices were the practice of before the Buddha. The practice of Buddha and Arahants is like now we are doing the Anapanasati. Then I requested him, please give me instruction on this practice. He gave me the instruction and said, at night you should try it. Every time the air going in and going out will touch the entrance of the nostril, and you have to know them. If you continue to know it with mindfulness, the Dharma will show you. At night, after my study, I did my usual rosary practice and then practiced Anapana meditation. After 5 or 10 minutes, my body seemed to be elevated from the floor about 7 inches. Ha! I have become Arahant now. What I heard is that a real Arahant could fly with Janic power. It was like the Susima wanderer of the time of the Buddha and some Buddhists. And then I could go wherever I wanted. So, with joy I continued with the practice. It seemed to me it was rising up more in the air. It was true or not, I wanted to know it. So I opened my eyes, looking at it, and seeing my buttocks were still on the mattress. Whatever it was, I continued, and it seemed moving one-armed length. When I was opening my eyes again, it stuck with the mattress again. I continued with the practice, it seemed like I was moving up one human's height. With the continued practice, it seemed my head was touching the roof. Continuing with it, the roof was opened, and with the brightness the body moved up to the sky like a firework. It was too quick and went up with acceleration. The whole sky could not be seen in any shape and form with full of light. I was in the sky. My mind was peaceful, happy, and clear. It was like riding on the waves of the air. It must be Dharma happiness. Could it be Nibbana? It seemed I attained Nibbana. I was enjoying absorption with thinking. I fully enjoyed the Janic pleasure and came out of it. Furthermore, I went into Jhana at midnight and came out at 4 a.m. in the morning, i.e., 4 hours in absorption. This present physical body did not go up there, but only the Upadana Rupa, clinging physical form going up there. This loathsome body, a Subha body, was staying on the mattress. I knew all these only after practicing Dharma, and could explain them. At first, I did not know in this way. He knew the experience but can't explain it. In one of Mogik Sayadaw's talks, he said that most people thought the mind could go here and there. This was a wrong view, Sasata, like the view of soul theory, but the mind could incline toward anywhere. We can see this in the Ingu Sayadaw's experience at the time of his realization of Anagami. Some wrong views are the outcome of practices and experiences which were misinterpretations. At night after my study, I developed Anapana Samadhi and went to the sky. I stayed there until my satisfaction and came down in the morning. These were regular, and I didn't sleep for 7 months. Not sleeping is my own mind. The body down there was asleep, i.e., the body was at rest. I knew that my own mind was not asleep. At school, my face was clear, and I passed my exams. I arrived at the age of 23. My mother was worried about me marrying a city or town girl. So she arranged a country girl for me. Mother made this arrangement with the parents of a girl in our village. Both sides of the parents were finished with the engagement, and it only needed my consent. My mother said to me, "My son, you should not have a family life with a city girl, instead marry a country girl. I have already made an engagement for you." My response was, "Mother, if you like her, then it is all right. I don't have the wish of only marrying this one, and not the other one. For a good man, the woman's side will come for the engagement. I have to work for a woman if I don't get one, and let it be." Mother said, "No, it's already arranged. I tell you this matter because it was connected with perfection, parami, and this will come later. When I was thinking about this matter, marrying a woman was like signing the agreement. I didn't have any love affair with her. It wasn't like my friends. I must speak to her, so I asked to meet her at night without her parents at home. When I went there at night, she came out and invited me inside the house. In her room, I was sitting on the bed, and she was a little distance on the floor. When I looked at her, she was like a wooden statue to me, i.e., seemed to be a lifeless object. She did not appear to me as a woman. When a sotapanna sees a woman, it is not a woman to him. I have already mentioned one of Ajahn Chah's disciple Kun Ti, when he was thinking about having a family life, and every woman he thought about for his choice, all of them appeared to him like skeletons. I did not say a word for half an hour, so that she asked me, "Darling, are you not well?" I responded with one word, as, "I am well." After 15 minutes passed by, "Do you have a lover in Rangoon?" I only responded with, "I don't have anyone," and then another 15 or 20 minutes passed. Likewise, I myself don't know what happened to me. She asked me, "Do you see any fault in me?" My response was, "No, you don't have any fault." With this response, she was crying. I knew that she was crying, but in my mind she was still a wooden statue for me. After that, I returned home. Next day I told my sister that last night I went there and spoke with her, but she was not a human. They all laughed at me. These are related to perfection. Because of wholesome perfection, I could practice the Dharma like now. Even though I had the perfection, I did not think about to become a monk. It was never in my head. The reason was I saw village monks sitting there in their monasteries the whole day. When I saw them, I myself became bored. What are they thinking by sitting there the whole day? I thought their lives were too dry and boring, and only they could bear it. Anyhow, I myself now am a monk. When I was continuing my study, maybe in university, one day my elder sister and uncle, not giving any reason, took me somewhere for ordination, this was arranged by his parents. Sayadaw himself also did not mention very clearly the reason behind the ordination. They were afraid of me that not telling anything about it to me. My character is never talking, and doing things which are not right. So they were afraid of asking me to ordain by force. From Saketa, the town where his uncle lived, they brought me to Mingaladan. This is the place where the international airport exists, not far from Rangoon, and Morbi, by car. At Munpai Yanpai Pagoda, it means free from Mara, and enemy, there was a 9 days retreat of the Ingu meditation for the temporary ordained monks.